Do you like what we do? Well, let me introduce you to Friends of NEAR. This is a way for you to support the great work of NEAR Media Co-op, which we here at NEAR think will give friends and family the chance to actively support the community media work we just love doing. Joining is easy, and you can find out more at near.ie/friends or by email to friends@near.ie. There's a few T's and C's, but only a few. Promise. Go on. Let's be friends.
Now on the line, I have Linda Smith from Women's Aid, and she's the National Helpline Manager. So, Linda, good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
We just get rid of that altogether. I hadn't faded it out completely. Now, Lakshmi is here with me, and Lakshmi would love to have a chat with you.
Yeah.
Okay, no problem.
Hello, Linda. Hello.
Morning, Lakshmi. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Could you explain a little bit about your new... I know you have a wonderful campaign, and which started on Valentine's Day. And could you tell us a little bit more?
Yeah, I can. This campaign called The Two and Two is really, I suppose, to raise awareness around early signs of abuse in dating relationships. And Women's Aid have been running the campaign since 2011. So this year, though, we revised it through extra funding that we received, which has been brilliant. So again, as I said, it's to raise awareness to young women, particularly between the ages of 18 and 25, so I suppose to just flag the signs of abuse that they might already be tuned into. They might feel that something is not quite right in the relationship. And we always recommend that, you know, particularly to women and young women, that if something doesn't feel right in that relationship, it probably is not right. And I suppose that's really the first key warning sign to anyone who might be experiencing any form of abuse in that relationship. It might be emotional abuse. It could start off merely, you know, with the putting down, with the name calling, and it could possibly then escalate the longer that relationship goes on to physical abuse, possibly financial and sexual abuse as well. So, you know, we're trying to, as I said, the campaign is just trying to identify those age group of women and just to help raise their awareness around signs.
So what does the campaign look like?
Well, the campaign is, it's a national campaign, so we've got posters, we've got bookmarks, we're on social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. So it's, again, as I said, there's 7 posters, and each poster is identifying a particular type of abuse and naming that type of abuse as well. So like Triple Text Thomas, for instance, is somebody who, when you're not with him, texts you constantly because he wants you to be near him or spend all of your time with him, and he'll put you under pressure, you know, in an unreasonable amount of text. We're not just talking about ordinary text messaging, you know, every now and again or once or twice in the daytime, but we're talking about consistent texts that, you know, is a it's a concern.
Yes.
So that's
also
an example, really.
And do you get many complaints from young women? How many young women are affected by dating abuse, do you think?
Well, I suppose, you know, working on the National Free Phone Helpline, we are able to identify a particular trend, you know, in any aspect of the abuse that we might be hearing over the phone. And that's the reason why we identified that there was a need for a campaign to target younger women, because they were talking about dating abuse, you know. And, you know, it is, in terms of the research that's out there, we know, say, for instance, the Fundamental Rights Agency, they carried out an EU survey in 2014, and it identified 39% of young women aged between 18 and 29 in Ireland had experienced emotional abuse by a boyfriend or partner. So we know through statistics, that's just one example, that young women do experience any range of abuse when they're in dating relationships. And even when we talk to older women on the helpline, they identify that that abuse has gone on throughout their whole life and it had begun early in that dating relationship.
Yes, we've heard that before. Like, we had a lady who was a victim of domestic violence, and I suppose during the time of, when they were courting, as you say. And yeah, there were signs, but they ignored it. So could you tell us a few of the signs that in your,
I think the most important sign really is if it's not feeling right, there's something not right there, okay? Mm. So for instance, if he starts to pick out your clothes or he's beginning to comment on how you look, that doesn't suit you, I think this is nicer on you, I don't like your hair, the colour of your hair, it's drawn too much attention, she might be getting compliments from her friends, from her family, not necessarily other males. He might be complaining about her friends, that her friends don't like him, or maybe that she spends too much time with her friends and not enough time with him. He might be sending her constant texts, just, checking to see where you are and what you're doing, but you're not with him, you're not spending any time with him. You might be afraid to disagree with him.
Yes.
So, if he's got a bad temper and you think that, having an opinion or giving your opinion might raise his temper and you're scared of that, definitely a warning sign. You know what I mean? Because in an equal partner relationship, you don't agree all the time. There are times when you're going to disagree, but, it shouldn't frighten you to disagree. You should be able to express your opinion. And I think then when it comes to more physical signs of abuse, is that he is actually hitting you or kicking you or shoves you or threatens to hurt you. It's that serious. I mean, the emotional does have huge impact on your self-esteem, your physical and mental well-being. But when it comes to the physical, it can be very frightening as well.
For instance, sexual abuse. For instance, sexual abuse.
Pardon?
Sexual abuse.
Absolutely. I mean, you can feel under pressure to perform something that you're uncomfortable about, or actually he just might force himself on you and rape you, which is really horrific for any woman to experience, and it's completely not acceptable. But that is included as well. And of course we've got stalking also, that he might, constantly check your passwords and maybe check in on your emails and stalk you via social media and so on, and start questioning you about statuses you might put up or whatever, you also might be afraid to break up with him because he may attempt to hurt himself or threaten suicide, or he might attempt or threaten to hurt you. We also know from our own femicide watch that since 1996, 40 women aged between 18 and 25 years of age were murdered in the Republic of Ireland.
Yes.
As a result. And of the resolved cases, 52% of those women were murdered by a boyfriend or former partner. So that's a really serious statistic,
The thing is, you see, when they're murdered, it becomes a murder case and nobody knows what went on before that.
Well, this is it. Yeah. I mean, the trial usually just focuses on the crime, the initial crime. And of course, unfortunately, if the victim has been murdered, she's not there to represent herself.
Exactly. Yes.
And
yes.
They're very sad situations, obviously.
It's
just to highlight that, domestic violence abuse can end fatally. And that's the really important message to get out there.
Yes.
That we can't underestimate somebody's intention. If they want to control and abuse you, they will. So it's, again, the campaign targets your own instinct, your gut instinct, what you're feeling, and if it doesn't feel right, it's not right.
Hello, Linda. Michael here.
Hi, Michael.
I was just listening there with yourself and Lakshmi, and I find it very interesting, and I think Lakshmi and myself have spoken about this before. I come from a background where my parents was a very loving relationship and was a very equal relationship. And I think anyway, and I hope my wife thinks it as well, that we have the same type of relationship. And I find it difficult to understand the mentality of somebody who wants to dominate someone else. And I find it very interesting, some of the points that you put out there. They're kind of the warning signs. And I have to say, I have noticed them with both some of my male friends and some of my female friends as well, doing the exact same. But I personally find it very difficult to actually get my head around it and why anybody would want to do that.
Well, you see, Michael, you're coming from the other side of that. Your motivation or your agenda in a relationship is not to have power and control over your partner. And I think that's the difference. You allow that space to have an equal presence and respect in that relationship. But where there is domestic abuse or domestic violence, that's not where the perpetrator is coming from. The perpetrator is coming from that position of exerting power and control over that partner in every aspect of their life. Do you know?
Yeah, but
I can understand why you're finding that difficult. You've not experienced it firsthand in your own family of origin, and your own, you know, your own marriage and relationship is one that's, I suppose, the basis of it is respect and love.
But it, you know, a theme like this, that's why it's so hidden, that people cannot get their head around it. And also they don't admit it. You may have friends, but many people don't know what to do and what to say. And that's a problem, because I suppose if the community is more connected, I wonder whether it could happen, you know, like people could help each other. Or there is, you know, what do you think, Linda?
Yeah. I think that I know from talking to women that women, after, you know, being in a relationship that is controlling and abusive, that women's self-esteem is lowered, and, you know, they do feel ashamed that they're in a relationship or that they're experiencing that type of behaviour, and they find it really difficult to talk to family or friends about it. And I think that's why it's crucial to have, I suppose, a service like the Women's Aid and Active Speakone Helpline, which is completely confidential. We don't ask any identifiable questions. We don't ask women what their name are, where they live, anything like that. It's purely to provide a space for her that she feels safe and comfortable enough to talk about what's going on for her. And I think that's really important for women. As you say, society possibly doesn't always understand why abuse happens in a relationship or what the motivation of that is. I think that equally makes it difficult for women to talk about the issue. We've often had women on the helpline who've experienced emotional abuse and not really seeing it as abuse, but it's so detrimental. It has a very negative impact on a woman's mental health and physical health as well. Despite the fact that there will be no bruising there, I mean, it will have a devastating effect on her in the long term. So women will often say in the helpline, it would be easier if he beat me, because then I'd be able to explain it, you know, or show someone, and then they might understand it. So it's really, it's a difficult topic. But nonetheless, it is going on out there. And I suppose we all have a duty to raise awareness of the issue. And it's great that you've been able to highlight it today on your station.
You know, like, I know it's Women's Aid, but I was thinking, I can't help but think, because I have sons as well. So I was thinking, young men can be abused, young men, because now they're same-sex, you know, it's allowed and it's legal. And I wonder what happens to young men.
You know, well, there's a lot said, of... You know, Yeah. I mean, obviously, we're aware that, you know, men can experience abuse as well, but Women's Aid deals with women and, you know, same-sex relationships as well. So just to say that.
Yeah.
But there are services out there for men, and we do, you know, we generally signpost people in the right directions.
Yeah. Do they ring you as well? For instance,
pardon?
Would men, young men ring you if they were abused?
Sometimes they do.
Yeah, they
do. Like, yearly or annually, we would probably receive about 3% of calls from men.
Yes. Is there a service for men?
Sorry?
Is there a service for men?
There are national services, and generally what we would do is signpost people to the CUSC website, because it gives out a list of national services. So if anybody is listening, they can check the CUSC website.
Yes, thank you, Lynn.
I think the most important thing And what we're doing today is talking about this issue. And I think it's very important that we don't hide it behind the door, and we get out there and we talk about it. And that if somebody is worried or concerned about a friend or themselves, that they know where to turn. So maybe, Linda, you could maybe give our listeners some of the contact details that they where they can contact you.
Well, the gateway to all of our services in Women's Aid is the National Free Phone Helpline, but obviously we give out other contact details with regards to domestic violence support services locally and nationally. So the number, the free phone number is 1-800-341-900.
Linda, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this morning.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you very much for inviting us on. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
All the best.